through to chapter 4, verse 7. There's so much in this passage of Scripture, but I'm going to rush through it. You'll probably be pleased to hear that, but it might mean you'll be disappointed at the end because it's fast food and not solid roast dinner. So as great as that last 5 minutes was, as much fun as that last 5 minutes was for most of you, greeting one another as brothers and sisters, it has had a purpose, and that's to remind us that we're all children together in Christ and in the gospel. And no matter whether we're male or female, adult or child, visitors to this church or regulars here, whatever our differences, actually we're all one in Christ, all one in the gospel. And that's basically the message from this passage this morning. So Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He's subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Now, if you've been here for any of the last few weeks, while we've been looking at Galatians, you'll know that Paul's been writing to several churches in this province of Galatia. These churches have been, having come to Christ, are now being influenced by Christian believers who previously were Jewish. And they want to retain something of the customs and practices, like circumcision for the men, some of the food laws about what's clean and unclean, who you can eat with, and that kind of thing. And Paul's been arguing that these things no longer apply for Christians. And basically, he's been saying, here's how it works. There is no other gospel. Christ died on the cross, taking the blame for our sins. If we believe, then we receive forgiveness. We're born again. There's nothing we can do to achieve salvation. It's all from God, in Christ, through faith. You get that, don't you? That's what we've been saying for the last few weeks. There's no other gospel. And here we are then at chapter 3, verse 26. And he's reinforcing his argument. And he's spelling out the blessings that are ours in Christ. And so therefore, why would you go anywhere else to try and find any of these blessings? And the first thing he says then is that we're all children in the gospel. You're all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Before we get to that word children, you notice the other word, all. See, the line taken by these Judaizing believers actually leads to divisions. You see, we're better than you because we continue to do this and you don't. We won't sit with you at the table because you're unclean according to the rules that we have. There are these divisions going on. There's first and second class Christians. Some are better than others. And Paul is saying here, and in these next verses, no. Don't you see? We're all children, and we're all one in Christ. So we're all children of God. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all part of the same family with God as our Father. It's an amazing thought, actually, isn't it? An amazing thought that even though each of us has to respond to God personally and individually, to make that choice to follow Christ, you know, to own the faith for ourselves. And although we do enter a personal relationship, each of us, with God as Father, through faith in Jesus Christ and by His Holy Spirit at work in each of us, it's not about each of us. It's about all of us. We're not called to walk alone in this Christian life. We're called into a family. So look around. You know, think back to those few minutes ago, to all those that you greeted, and actually to those you didn't greet. You know, those that you like and those that you don't, if you're honest. For better or for worse, for Richard or for poorer, in sickness and in health, this is your family. These are the people who support you and give you strength, which is why it was great to hear what Ron said this morning, great to hear what Celia said this morning, particularly as we were thinking about these things. And you see, actually, it's not just about people in this room, is it? Those who belong to Saltersford Church but who are on holiday, they're part of our family. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. Those who belong to the other churches in Warwick, even Mighton, they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, they're part of our family. Those who are going to Zimbabwe, who've gone to Zimbabwe, those who are going to Moldova later on in the year, and those to whom they visit, do you get it? They're all brothers and sisters in Christ. They're all part of our family, all part of our church. Anywhere in the world, whoever believes in Christ, brothers and sisters, same family, same father, same church. And we have a responsibility to each other, to pray, to serve, to love, and support one another. Because there is this qualification, isn't there, to be part of the family. It's not everybody in the whole wide world that we're talking about here. It's those who have faith in Christ Jesus, particularly, who are part of the family. Did you get that? You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. This is Paul's main point in the letter. Nothing else is required, but this is required. Listen, this is required. Faith in Christ Jesus and all He's done on the cross. If we trust in Him for that salvation that He has won, then we enter into the family of God. We become children of the gospel, and there is no other gospel. It's just worth noting, I think, a favourite little phrase of Paul's here. In Christ Jesus. In Christ. It's here several times in these verses, or something similar. So you're baptized into Christ. You've clothed yourselves with Christ. You're all one in Christ if you belong to Christ. You see, he's picking up on this thing. And we tend to think, don't we, that when we come to faith, it's Christ in us. And that's true. But actually, the Bible speaks here about actually it's us in Christ. We are in Christ if we are believers. We're united to him. As we heard last time, we've been crucified with him, and we rise again with him. We receive from him. We're blessed by him. We are in Christ together. And Paul goes on, doesn't he, here to say, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. He mentions baptism here, and it's a shame that all these young people have gone, because this was written for them, but also for those of you who haven't been baptized yet. You know, he's showing here, isn't he, that baptism is just a natural, expected follow-up to becoming a believer. It's there throughout the New Testament. Believe and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. You know, faith and baptism go together like love and marriage, like a horse and carriage, like bread and jam. You know, you come to faith and you get baptized. Easy, obvious. Say yes. Say, what were you going to say, Celia?
Yay!
Yay! You see, on the inside, comes to faith, and on the inside, God cleanses us and washes us. We're crucified and we're risen with him to a new life. And we're clothed with Christ's holy clothes. We are declared innocent, aren't we? Justified on the inside. But God gives us baptism, this opportunity to say, look, everyone, here's what God's done for me on the inside, and I'm showing you on the outside. And in this pool of water, I'm saying, I'm a believer, and God's washed me, and God's cleansed me, and I'm dying with him, and I'm rising with him, and I'm going to live my life for him in the future. Do you know, I was trying to think of things that you do that naturally have something to follow on. Did you see? Just to try and sort of get this. I mean, there must be a thousand things, but you start your car, and then you don't go anywhere. What's that all about? You wouldn't do it, would you? You call somebody on your phone, and then you don't speak to them. What's that all about? You don't. Well, you do, actually. It's good fun, isn't it? But you wouldn't naturally do it, would you? It's stupid to do that. You wake up, and you don't get up. That's crazy, isn't it? You just wouldn't. There's no sense in any of these things. So, believe and be baptized. What does he say in verse 27? All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You know, he's referring to what we were like before Christ, when our clothes were like filthy rags of unrighteousness. But on the cross, Christ took our filthy robes and put them on himself and handed to us his righteous robes, his royal robes for us to wear. You know, when we believe, we're clothed in him, we're clothed in his righteousness. That's all of us. Like, this memory sticks in my mind when, in a previous career, I was a printer, and I was offered a job in Cambridgeshire, a little village in Cambridgeshire, and we were looking for a house, and went to the church on the Sunday morning. Was it Hinton or somewhere in Cambridgeshire? Hinton? Okay, Melbourne, Janssen. So, anyway, went to a Baptist church there, and the minister was speaking about stuff. He came to the children's talk, and it was just at that point, like about 20 minutes into the service, where I thought, gotcha, you're a Scouser. Because he used these phrases, dirty shirt. He was talking about having a dirty shirt. And I'll say that. It's like a dirty shirt. All together now. Dirty shirt. So he'd come up with two shirts, right? One which the day before he'd rolled in soil and mud and poured old food on and rubbed old tomatoes into. And, you know, whatever you can think of, he'd done it to this dirty shirt. And he had a clean shirt. And he was saying to the kids, which one would you rather wear? And of course, they all wanted to wear the clean shirt rather than the dirty shirt. Why am I telling you that? I have no idea. But the point is, we believe, be baptized, we're all children in the gospel, and we're clothed in Christ's righteousness. I know I'm rushing, I'm really sorry, but we need to do this, don't we? So, secondly, Paul wants to say, we're all one in Christ. It's a both and fit together sort of thing here. I read in the books this week, and I've read it before, that there used to be a prayer said by Jewish men around about the time of Paul. And earlier, of course, which is that I thank you, Lord, that I'm not born as a foreigner, I'm not born as a slave, and I'm not born as a woman. That's not funny. Don't laugh. Okay. It shows, doesn't it, the disparity that was perceived in the religious faith of the day. And it was also there in Greek society as well. You see, there were definitely first-class citizens and second and even third class citizens as well. And this was being carried on into the Christian faith to some extent by these Judaizing Christian believers. See, Jews saw themselves as a superior race. I mean, God had chosen them. So you know, you understand where they're coming from. There's clearly disadvantages, aren't there, to being a slave. You know, that goes without saying. And it was then, obviously not now, a man's world. Oh, I thought I might get a response to that. But, you know, women had no rights then. Women had no votes then. Women had no say then. There was definite place then for men and for women. But the gospel shatters all of this. It brings us to the same place. Because the gospel says, you know, before you came to Christ, we're all the same. We're all in need of salvation. We all fall short of the glory of God. That there's no difference between us. And then he says, we're all the same because we're all loved by God equally. And then he says, when we believe, hey, we're all the same because we're all clothed in Christ's royal robes, just the same, whether you're male or female, whether you're a slave or a free man, whether you're a Christian or a Jew or a Greek or whatever it might be. See, we're all the same, part of God's family, brothers and sisters with the same Father. Now, obviously, he's not saying there are no differences. There are differences between races and cultures. You know, Scousers are obviously superior to the rest of the world. I'm surprised. I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but boys and girls are different. And, you know, there are still in our world today those in slavery. And that's no laughing matter, is it? And still in our world, there are those who are royals and those who are commoners. Do you know, there are differences in our culture, in our statuses, in that kind of thing going on in our world. But what Paul is saying, do you see, in Christ, there are differences, but these differences don't matter. We're all one in Christ Jesus. There is no Jew, no Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What's the motto of Keswick?
All one in Christ Jesus.
Isn't that amazing coincidence, Celia? We're all one in Christ Jesus. So how does that work out at Saltersford Church? Well, we did say it a few weeks ago for the benefit of those of you who weren't here. Doesn't matter if you work in JLR or elsewhere. Doesn't matter if you work in the home, whether you're a volunteer, whether you're on benefits, we're all one in Christ. There is no difference. It doesn't matter if you live on the Packmoors or the Forbes or the Woodlows or in the town centre or in the surrounding towns and villages or if you're homeless. There's no difference. We're all one in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter. It does matter. It doesn't matter, but it does matter. It doesn't matter if you sit on the left-hand side or on the right-hand side or in the middle. It does matter. But it doesn't matter in one sense, because we're all one in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're young and old. It doesn't matter if you're all shapes and sizes or your hair colour or none. See, there's no difference. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And it doesn't matter whether it's this country or any continent or any skin colour. Let's embrace and enjoy what Christ has brought together. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Let's live in unity and harmony together. Paul goes on to say, doesn't he, in verse 9, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abram's seed and heirs according to promise. He's saying, you know, this is what happens when you belong to Christ. We're all children of the gospel. We're all one in Christ. There are no differences between us. And so we're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So way back in the first book of the Bible, several thousand years ago, God made a promise to an 80-year-old childless man that his descendants, his seed, would be blessed and they would be a blessing to the rest of the world. From Abraham came Israel, the nation of Israel, a people of God, who were to be that to receive those blessings and to be that blessing to the world. Jesus Christ is a direct descendant of Abraham. You can find that out beginning of Matthew, beginning of Luke, in the descendancy thing that goes on. You know, so he became a blessing to the rest of the world. And now, says Paul, you and I, all who are in Christ, all who belong to Christ, all who have been baptized into Christ, are part of that blessing and seed. To receive all the blessing that God wants for us, but actually to be a blessing to the world as well. Again, don't you just wish those young people were in here now. You know, they're blessed to bless. And that's what they're going to do later this afternoon. And in this sense, therefore, we're heirs of the promise, inheritors of all the promises that were made to Abraham, and in Christ, heirs to his inheritance too. And that's what Paul goes on to unpack in verses 1 to 7. There's so much in here, but I'm going to try and do it in a paragraph or two, really. He paints a picture of a young lad who one day will inherit the trust fund that the father has set up for him. And the father sets a time and a date when he will come into his inheritance. So he is the heir, but he hasn't received it yet. So up until that time, the time when, the father is set, even though he's an heir, actually, says Paul, he's no better than a slave. Because other people, trustees and guardians, and I guess his parents, control his life. It's only when he comes of age, at the time the father is set, that he will inherit that trust, inherit that inheritance, and so actually live life as the heir. And Paul says, so it is with us. Before Christ, we're in slavery. We're in slavery, he says, to the basic principles of this world. Now, that's a complicated expression that he's using. It's not used very often anywhere in the Bible. But without trying to explain it too much, just think. Think of all those other voices that cram in to your mind. Think of all those other temptations that take you away from the path of following Christ. Think of all those natural tendencies you have that lure you off the path. Let's call it sin, if you like. Although it's more than that. It's powers and principalities as well. It's these things. Before Christ, we're in slavery to these things. Although God's chosen us to be an heir and to inherit everything, until the time, said by him, we're slaves. But then Paul says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. When the time had fully come, in other words, at his planned time, at the time of God's choosing, he sent his son. So God's son, so therefore he's fully divine. Born of a woman, so therefore he's fully human. Born under law, so in other words, he's subject to all the pressures and temptations and to the principles of the world, just as we are, yet he remains sinless, you remember. And why did God send his son? So that as one of us, he could represent us on the cross and take the blame for our sins as the perfect sacrifice. He came to redeem us from under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. So not only forgiven, not only is our past dealt with, not only are we redeemed, but actually we enter into the inheritance that God has for us. It's that moment you believe, that moment in Christ, you're adopted into his family and you enter into all the blessings he has for you and so are able to bless others with your lives. And as an added confirmation, not only did he send his son, but he sends the spirit of his son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba Father. Those moments of doubt, those moments when you think, is it all true? Those moments when you think, is it all worth it? Then the Holy Spirit within you somehow cries out to the Father. See? And you get that relationship again. So not only redemption from the past, but a reassurance in the present, as well as that future blessing, future inheritance that is ours. There's so much in these verses. Could have spent so much time. In fact, with hindsight, we might have broken this down into 3 sermons, but we didn't. We're all children in the gospel. We're all one in Christ. We're all heirs of the promise. Thanks be to God. Father, we thank you for these words again, Lord, so relevant to our lives today. We thank you, Lord, for rescuing us from slavery and birthing us into blessing. We thank you, Lord, for all you did on the cross to redeem us. We thank you for sending your Son. We thank you for sending your Spirit into our hearts now to bring that reassurance that we belong to you, that we are your children. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, for anyone here today who's in any doubt at all, Father, by your Spirit, remind them, reassure them that they belong to you and that you'll never let them go. A father to a child. So we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing a song to close about wearing robes, in royal robes we don't deserve. We live to serve your majesty.